It's the one and only Lance Wallnau Show. But today's broadcast is different. Today is going into the prophetic front lines with Cindy Jacobs and her husband, Mike Jacobs. And what's weird is I actually was doing a show with them for their audience. And it was so interesting. I said, this is what I want my own people to listen to. So we're going to do something very special today. We're going to have Cindy and Mike Jacobs, their program. I'm going to share it with you. It's a prophetic conversation about the meltdown of the economy and the hope of a rising new solution. It's where Christianity meets chaos. And when Christianity meets chaos, I don't have to tell you this, every funeral Jesus ever attended, he screwed up and raised the dead. We're seeing a collision of worldviews right now, and I believe it's going to work out. I'm just optimistic. I'm going to paint the picture dark, and then I'm going to give you the light on the subject. You don't want to miss today's broadcast. By the way, if you want to feel younger, think sharper, live better. I've got this strong cell difference. I found out it's a company that knows me, works right here in Dallas. I've been working on this coenzyme that actually causes your cells to be strengthened with a CoQ10 and a unique product, which is called NADH, which is designed to deliver a certain kind of an energy that most other cellular products don't do. Anyway, I take Cellular Booster right here every day. My staff takes it. And the reason why we do it is because it works. You just feel sharper, stronger, and have greater focus. Why don't you go to LanceWallnau.com/strongcell. That's STRONGCELL, not SELL. LanceWallnau.com/strongcell, /strongcell. And you'll take it for a week yourself and let me know if it works for you like it works for me and my staff. Now let's get into the prophetic moment with Cindy Jacobs.
Hello, welcome to Prophetic Dateline. We have Lance Wallnau on the show.
You just announced it right out
there. I wanted to just say it right up front.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he's brilliant.
Just go ahead and be effusive.
I'm going to be effusive. He's chuckling in the background. Some of you know he gave a word and predicted Trump would be a modern day Cyrus.
Before the election of 2016.
He's written books on that God's chaos candidate. I like this. He's a strategist. He's a futurist. And he's a compelling communicator. He has shared platforms with John Maxwell, Ben Carson, Mike Pompeo. Some of you are in other countries. You may not know some of these names. But you might know John Maxwell's books that he's written from his Leadership Institute. And so, you know, he's just a great guy. And the best is he's married to Annabelle, who... Mm-hmm. People may not know this, Mike, but Annabelle Lance's wife has all these warehouses full of furniture and things that she gives away to people in need.
The single moms, particularly. Yes. I think.
And the best part is Lance has to pay for that. Let's bring Lance on.
Exactly. That's why the entrepreneurial anointing is going to have to be on the body of Christ. We're going to have to be modern-day Josephs and Daniels all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one of the words for this year was God was going to raise up economic solutionists and solutionists. So I'm just going to let you go with that, kind of say what you think, and then we'll unpack that.
Yeah, because he ministers a lot, or deals with a lot of CEOs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What'd you say, 100 CEOs, you know, that you work with?
Yep. Yeah, we work with lots of business. For some reason, business people resonate with me. And I'll tell you why I think it is. It's because I left the corporate world in order to follow Jesus. So I had the New York Stock Exchange company and left the high-paying, high-profile corporate world. Kind of like it was Silvoso that actually put it in my head. He said, Lance, you're the rich young ruler. And I never thought... I was the rich young ruler who really left it all in order to be a preacher or whatever God wanted me to do. So I think that anointing is there. And now later on in life, it comes back again. And I find myself surrounded by business people. And I think that God trusts me with that because my first love isn't the business world. It's getting the gospel out. So yeah. It works out.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And, you know, this journey you've gone, just like some of you, I don't know if you know about Ed Savosa, our dear friend, but he wrote Anointed for Business. And he's been a pioneer in talking about that business people are anointed, just like a pulpit minister. Business people are ministers too. Well, you know, we're in incredible economic times right now. And do you know economic solutionists? Can we unpack this a little bit, what that might look like?
Yeah, well, and so let's be so let's talk about the economic saboteurs first.
There are a few of those.
The reason why you need a solution is because you got a problem. But a problem can't be solved unless it's properly defined. Mm. What we have is a form of judgment on the West for its decadence and self-indulgence, its lack of fiscal discipline, is becoming the number one burden that we are going to have to deal with. You can, in America, you can always have a correction every 4 years of a leadership direction. But fiscal policy, you live with. You live with the errors of the previous administration. Mm-hmm. We are now in the United States at $34 trillion worth of debt. And then you get into the things that are called unfunded liabilities, which means all the future Social Security and all the future in our country. Add on top of that, because that's $34 trillion we got, and then the future obligations, all that to say this. You really don't appreciate Joseph till you have a famine.
Oh, that's good. You really don't
appreciate the solutionist till you've got the crises. And we're in it right now, which is why God is raising up the solutionist. So the problem defined is neither party, Republican or Democrat, represents the future of America. They represent to a greater extent their own future in relationship to their donor class and their opportunities for their future. So we need courageous leadership in Washington to whistleblow on what's happening in the economic crisis. That paves the way for the Josephs and Daniels to begin to step forward with answers. So that, anyway, I just want to say that because for years we've been, I'm not saying Pollyannish, but I'm part of that whole transfer of wealth dialogue. And I'm watching the wealth get transferred to China instead of to the body of Christ. So I'm saying it's time we had realism about how wealth will be transferred and realize that it typically takes place during a time of upheaval. That's when innovation shows up. And the innovation is in people who God is positioning, like, by the way, Elon Musk. I mean, there are some people that are pre-Christian that God has his hands on. And they are literally part of the solutionists. They're the Josephs that aren't Jewish yet, but they're on. So we got to have eyes to see prophetically a much bigger field than just our own prayer group.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, and really, I really hadn't thought of Elon Musk as. Am I saying his name right?
Elon
Musk. Elvis.
She doesn't really know him personally.
Elvis. Anyway, no, Elon.
It's not Elvis Musk.
Yeah,
it's
just,
did you say Elvis Musk?
It's not Elvis. It's
no, not initially. I'm just making a pun.
Well, okay. We are caught in a trap. Well, I won't go there. Anyway.
It's been that kind of morning, guys. Anyway, but as a Joseph, but actually he is, you know, and so what... You know, I was all, maybe you've heard me say this, I was all in just a mess over digital currency, you know, all these things happening. And I was, you know, I was kind of in a, what are we going to do? What are we going to do moment? I mean, what if it does happen? You know, it will happen one day because the spirit of Antichrist is in the world now. I mean, so there are things forming, we know, but we have to say not yet. You know, not yet. We feel like it's premature that this happened for the sake of the gospel. We could give all kinds of reasons, you know, for that. But so I was in such a mess about it. And the Lord said to me just quickly, I mean, in the middle of my going, rah, 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 he's going, I've got this. I've got this, you know? And so this goes back to, you know economic solutionists, and you know some that like they're looking in this macro picture?
Absolutely. And I mean, we got some really brilliant guys right now that are looking at a whole different economic model that is based more on the kingdom than anything else. But I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. When things break apart, innovation gets to break out. And innovation doesn't happen until the crises. The crises creates the environment for the innovation. So here's where we have what's happening right now with America. I work, for instance, I met right here in my backyard at my office with a guy named Michael Seifert. Michael Seifert, young guy, millennial, you know, kind of sandy blonde hair, and comes, sits with me in the back, and he says, I have a vision for creating a digital app that will allow Christians, conservatives, patriots, and businesses that share each other's values to give each other their business rather than give their money to the Targets and to the other big stores that are, you know, to, that don't honor your values and that actually are at war with you. He created the app. I signed off with it, and I said, I'll be glad to help promote it and encourage him and prayed for him. Well, right now, that app, I think, is on the stock exchange. It's called Public Square. Public Square now has Charlie Kirk, I guess Tucker, Donald Trump Jr. Everyone's pushing it because what it does is it says there's an alternative way to do business. You don't have to lock in and do business with Pharaoh. You could do business with a fellow believer. And even if they're not a believer, if they share your values, do business with them. And so we're creating new alternative economies out of the belligerence of the economy that doesn't express our values. And that's already valued at multiple millions, and it's growing all the time.
Yeah, I think part of this also is there's a part of the church that doesn't believe in the triumphant church, that, you know, that we are will be triumphant, and part thinks that everything's going to go to H-E-L-L, and that's a sign that Jesus is coming, and then suddenly he rescues us out of here, you know. And I think and there's a lot of pushback right now against people who say, no, why give your nation to the devil? I mean, to you, that's like a no-brainer. You know, it's like, duh, you know. What do you think?
I think you're right. And here's the weird thing. What I found out is this. Paul is preaching, and he perceives that a man has faith to be healed. I love this line. He perceives a man has faith to be healed, and he says, stand up on your feet. And the man stood up. What happened was Paul had the ability to create the faith for a miracle, and then he spoke to someone that was responding to that. I tell you this. When I do the message on the kingdom about overcoming in government, about sanctuary cities, the devil sets up a counterfeit for what we really are supposed to be in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Cities that are sanctuaries where you come and the blessing of God rules over it rather than the anarchy of hell. And the devil claims the term for sanctuary. But here's my point. If we would be preaching the message of the kingdom, there are people out there in business. I know who they are because they look up at me. And God says to them, run for president. God says to them, expand your business. And I perceive that they have faith to receive it. And they rise up on their feet. And the next thing you know, they're doing the very thing we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's not my call and your call. We're fivefold ministers. But we speak these words and they go into people and they have the faith to do it. Mm-hmm. Why would they deprive them of that oxygen?
Mm-hmm. They have the faith and the knowledge. You know, we didn't say this, Mike, but, you know, Lance is on our Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have intentionally asked people who had different giftings, different aspects, you know, feelers, seers, you know, different ones that are dreamers or ones that see economies or things. And so Lance brings an aspect that we haven't had, you know, really in this council. And
well,
I
Jason
think it's
Ball,
do we
like
have
that.
Others? Yeah, we have others. Other business leaders. But this is very, very important because I think, you know, one of the words we got is that we are transitioning from the church age to the kingdom age. And there's a rubbing right now. I mean, there's a rubbing And historically, you know, anytime there were these major transitions, there always was a clash of kingdoms, clash of worldview, clash of belief systems.
Absolutely. And if you don't mind me saying so, I mean, I said it yesterday, and I don't know who I was talking to. It was live on the air. I know that. I was wrestling with myself whether I should say it. But when Trump came on the scene, I heard the words, you know, Trump will be a wrecking ball to the spirit of political correctness.
I remember.
And he was. He ended up being exactly that, a wrecking ball. But then I began to suppress another word I kept hearing, which was bothering me. And it bothered me, I think, because it involved people like me. And it was, the wrecking ball is coming to the spirit of religion in the United States to liberate the kingdom.
Oh.
It's a wrecking ball that is going to hit the church. And the wrecking ball is going to be the reformation God wants. Mm-hmm. And I think the warning bell was when we were shut down for like a year and a half with COVID. It was when God said, hey, any moment this thing can shut down. What are you going to do then? Mm-hmm. And I believe that now that we're out of that season, people look back on it and go, well, that was weird. No, it wasn't. It was a great test mm-hmm. as to whether or not you can function on your own in the spirit without government control or permission. Mm. And the church in America has never been there. But that's what's happening now. The body of Christ is beginning to rise up and realize we are stewards. You know, like the left has a counterfeit for everything. Being stewards of the planet. They have environmental, you know, activists. Well, we are stewards of the planet. And we've got to keep the spirit of lawlessness and anarchy restrained so that the gospel of the kingdom can go to the nations. I never want to be guilty of going before Jesus and caving in with the devil and allowing him to take territory he wasn't supposed to take because I was fatalistically resigned to the Antichrist rising and waiting for my rapture exits.
Yeah, one of the craziest things I've heard people say is that we cannot be, you know, as we feel we were founded under God as a Christian nation, that's not fair. Have you heard people say it's not fair if we become a Christian nation?
Like it's one of the whole privilege arguments.
Privilege argument?
Yeah, like white privilege. It's like, well, how come you declare that you have, you know, that you stand as an ambassador for this kingdom, and that's not fair that you do that. If you're successful, that's gonna further oppress people who have already been oppressed. Yeah. It's just not true.
Yeah, however, because the Bible gives free will, we have freedom of religion. So, I mean, who wouldn't want that? There's no persecution. We're not persecuting people who believe other ways. So to me, you know, this creator's handbook, the Bible, makes a lot of sense for nations. Why wouldn't we want a nation like that?
Well, and it's because the devil knows that the greatest threat he's got is the church of the living God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His biggest opposition is the church. His greatest nation that frustrates him is the United States, historically. Not recently, but historically. And he must take America down, and he must take the Christian down. He's got to take the true church and the United States down, but he has a problem. And the problem is, the more that he tries to take it down, the more it awakens the average person to what's happening. And the moment that the awakening happens, the average believer realizes their nice little secure church world is under siege because America is in a revolution right now. And they're wondering, what are we to do? And I'm prophesying that millions of them are going to leave churches that don't lead in order to go to churches that have the anointing of leadership. Mm. And God is not trying to shut down churches. He's trying to wake up churches. But when Martin Luther came along during the time of Reformation and that 95 thesis was pounded upon the door of the Wittenberg Chapel, a moment came where God was no longer dealing with the Catholic Church as though it had all the time in the world to change itself. It came to a point of decision. And that's the moment of Reformation happening to Christianity in America. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be a state-approved church? Or are you going to be a Jesus-approved church? Mm-hmm. And if the Jesus-approved church and the state-approved church are in conflict, embrace the tension, because that's how America shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's, I have this book here, Reformers Arise. And, you know, in it, I studied about Martin Luther King Jr. His father went to Europe with the Baptists and found out about Martin Luther and came home and changed his name to Martin Luther. And because he knew that something had to be reformed. There was racial inequity. And then his son took that and walked it out, was a reformer. You know, so we celebrate that because that was unjust. You know, and we should celebrate when we have freedom. You know, do we talk about solutionists? Do we want people from other ideologies to come in any of your nations, wherever you are living? Do we want them to take away your freedom? No, God wants to raise up solutions. Yes, Mike.
I've just been waiting for an opportunity to say this.
Oh, okay? Hey, what are we doing?
The warfare is not just from a government. The warfare in the church is that traditionally, and I will use the term traditional evangelicalism, basically focus on two events. Get born again, go to heaven. They ignore the gap that is, well, what do you do after you're born again? You don't just wait to go to heaven. You don't wait for a rapture to go to heaven. There's something we're assigned to do in that time frame. And this is what Lance is talking about. Mm-hmm. People are awakening that there's something that has to happen in this time between when I get born again and when I do go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Can you give another example?
This is so true. So the word occupy till I come has lacked a context for us because we lived in a land of peace and prosperity for so long that we would have, I mean, I'm a marketplace guy. I'm a Seven Mountain guy. I coined the terminology and introduced it. The Seven Mountains is how you unpack your sphere of influence as a believer into the society around you. Now, the church, for the most part, did not embrace that message. It preached about personal prosperity, fulfillment, destiny, happiness. The product ended up becoming the individual fulfillment of an individual. We neglected the influencing of the world around us. And in fact, I have a leadership magazine issue from 1983, and it articulates brilliantly the conflict of what we're talking about. The solutionists were already there. They were James Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And James Kennedy said, we need to be careful that we don't have, that we neglect the two tracks. We need to be winning souls for heaven and discipling nations simultaneously. Because if we only focus on the age to come, we'll soon find the Marxists will shut down our churches because they're violating their religious ideology. Ooh. And we won't have a nation to preach to. Now, it was Jack Hayford, that venerable and godly man that we celebrate who passed away like a year ago. He was the opposition. Now, here's the subtlety and the error of that generation. He said, personally, I don't believe that it's the business of a Christian to be out on the street protesting the behavior of the unregenerate. I think we ought to have our sanctuaries open so that those that are godless and don't know Christ can come into the church and hear the gospel. I'm not interested in protesting evil. I'm interested in opening the doors of the gospel to see people saved. That was the error. The church, the mega church movement, the church growth movement, if Peter Wagner was alive, here's what he would say. The church growth movement made the mistake of thinking if they built bigger, stronger churches, they changed the culture. But all they did was change the culture in the church mountain. They left education to the Marxists. They left the universities to the Marxists. And doing that, they left the future of media, arts, business, and politics to the devil.
Yeah, that's so true. That is really, really true. Well, we just have a few minutes left. Lance, let's minister to the people. Go ahead and pray for some people out there that are solutionists. Just let the Holy
Spirit. Call them forth.
Yeah,
you know,
Holy
that's
Spirit speak to you.
All right, so I, if I paint, listen, if I paint on these with these bold octaves. As my wife says, she says, you're playing the octaves, which means I'm being overly intense and pathologically like Jewish on the negative side. But here's what I want to say. I want to say, in order to appreciate a solution, you have to appreciate and properly define the problem. So I spend time articulating the problem because we are called to occupy till he comes, not be paranoid about getting out of here. So there's opportunity all over the place right now. Daniel, for instance, was someone who could interpret the writing on the wall. Do you know what that writing on the wall was? It was the tongue of heaven. Daniel interpreted tongues and was able to topple thrones. Mm. This is a Pentecostal moment of opportunity. Wow. The prophetic, which you must be to follow Cindy and Mike Jacobs, the prophetic people watching that will pray in the Holy Ghost and pray to interpret what you're praying will begin to find that God will position you. When I first went into Trump Towers in New York, I didn't like it. They were having a race discussion. They were having a homosexual legality discussion. Trump was feeling a little bit awkward there. Baltimore was burning. They were talking about the black inner city problem. They're talking economics. And I said to the Lord, what am I doing here? And here's what the Holy Ghost said. Every time you pray in tongues, you tell me this is what you want to do. I have no idea that my tongues was taking me into a media world where we got like 20 million downloads now of our programs around the world. This is the hour for Josephs, the hour for Daniels, the hour for tongue-talking prophetic people to begin to get engaged with where their tongues are taking them. You're going to get involved with education. You're going to get involved with business. You're going to get involved with new media. You're going to get involved with arts projects. Movies are coming out. We've got three movies coming out of some guys I'm working with. Hollywood is making prosperity off of Kingdom movies, and there's a whole new product line coming out that's going to take on where VeggieTales left off. Mm-hmm. This is a golden moment for you. Mm-hmm. If you have the right mindset, you're going to go into all the world and occupy. Father, I pray right now that these words will find a home in the heart of individuals, and that men and women, regardless of their age, will realize I'm not too old, I'm not too young. It doesn't matter if I have connections, pedigree, or even money. All that I need is the call of God, and everything will work out. I pray, amen. Lord, people will hear the call of God.
Amen.
Exploits will be done in the earth before Jesus returns. You'll do them.
Yeah, the Lord is saying that there are some of you watching that you are a solutionist, and the whole time you're listening to this, you're just burning up inside, you know, and the Lord says, saying, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you to help and be a Joseph in the times of trouble in your nation, in the times when the economy looks like it's collapsing, hyperinflation. The Lord says, I am going to anoint you. And some of you, you know, you just feel like you march to the beat of a different drummer, like you feel like you're from Mars or something. Everybody else is from Venus or whatever. But the Lord just says to you, trust what I am giving you, because I'm going to, we would say, blow on it or breathe on it. You know, I mean, I'm gonna cause that to go forward, just like this public square and the different things like that. People are, you're developing apps, you're developing systems. And the Lord says, I'm going to accelerate it so you won't be late when it's needed. I'm going to accelerate it so you won't be late when it's needed. Well, thank you, Lance. Thank you for watching Lance Learning. And you want to get on, you want to listen to his podcast. And I think we'll put that, yeah. LanceLearning.com.
No, LanceWallnow.com /podcast. Podcast. It'll be on the screen.
/podcast.
Yeah.
There we go.
We do daily intelligence briefings on what the heck is going on in the world and how believers position themselves. And there it is.
Oh, there it is.
There it is, scrolling across the bottom.
What's wrong with me today? I can't say the address right. I'm calling Elon Musk Elvis. It's a weird day.
Well, it may have been a prophetic thing. We don't know. We don't want to say it was prophetic.
I don't know. Hey, well, thanks for joining. Thanks for joining around the world. We love you, and thank you, Lance.
God bless. I want to take a moment to talk about the volatile financial time that we're in. And I want you to empower yourself with knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Visit lancewalnut.com/birch and get a free information kit. Consider discussing how to shift your 401k or your retirement account into a tax-sheltered gold and silver account. Why don't you go to lancewalnut.com/birch right now and take action for a secure future.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.